Welcome, everyone, to the Plus Two Comedy Podcast. I'm your host, TV's Noah. Thank you so much for joining us. Guys, this episode of the Plus Two Comedy Podcast is brought to you by Jester's Playhouse, 545 Tilton Road in Northfield, New Jersey. It is your stop for comics, Land Center, and just all-out fun. You know why? Because that's where fun begins. Yeah, that's where it starts. You know, like Batman Begins. This is Fun Begins, Jester's Playhouse. Be sure to check that out. And also at jesterplayhouse.com. Just real quick, I want to get some plugs in. If you want to see Plus Two Comedy, we have a con coming up. It is a wonderful con called Nautic Con. It is in Provincetown, Massachusetts. So if you BAMCon fans want to make a drive to Nautic Con in Provincetown, Massachusetts, it is a 21 and over con. They have like wine tasting and tequila tasting and rum tasting. It's going to be a good time. You can check us out there. We are going to be doing stand-up comedy. We are going to be doing Beyond the Tentacle, episode 1 of the Beyond the Tentacle series. And also we're going to be doing this very podcast. So please be sure to check us out there. That's going to be at Nauticon in Provincetown, Massachusetts. I should probably include dates. We're going to be there September 13th through the 15th. So please, come check us out there. In this episode of the Plus Two Comedy Podcast, we have New Wallen. New Wallen, you might know him from Midnight Show, from Underbelly. He is the short, crazy one who has, at one point, threatened to murder me with a hammer at NekuCon. So this one's a bit wild. It's doesn't have any not-safe-for-work language, but it definitely has some not-safe-for-work topics. So use your own discretion. And now, without any further ado, take it away, Kirby Crackle.
All right, who's ready for a podcast? That was good.
Yeah,
that was good.
Four people are ready.
Yeah. Who came here for other things and is being annoyed by a podcast?
Woo!
That was no one. Nobody. No one but our guest. He came here to play magic, and we are stopping him from doing that.
I like this guy, though. He's like he's in the Buena Vista Social Club. I like
which
his hat.
Guy?
The guy with the...
Oh, yeah. He knows who you're talking about.
Or he's like he's trying to pull off the Bruno Mars.
No one can see him, just so you know.
Yes, theater of the mind.
As you guys know, I am TV's Noah Hulhan, joined by the visual jokes to this podcast, Mr. Will Liam.
I wasn't even to anything. Should have been to your podcast.
To my I phrased it poorly. Okay. How you doing, Will?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us.
No, you're welcome.
And our very special guest tonight, you might know him from a project called Midnight Show. We've plugged it before. He's also a part of Underbelly, and he's got his hands in a bunch of different things.
Yeah, I try to.
Newt Wallen's here.
Hey, look at me, everybody, if you could see me on the radio or the podcast on the internets.
You should get closer to your microphone.
Oh, should I get closer to my mic?
Yeah, get a little bit closer there.
There we go.
You didn't move any closer.
You pulled further back as you got closer.
It's, you know, I don't like, since college, I don't like phallic objects as close to my mouth.
I like to put my lips on them.
Oh.
I bang my teeth on this microphone all the time. It's awful.
You shouldn't do that to any phallic object.
Like this? No, not like that at all.
So what's going on, Newt? I know you've been working on Midnight Show, and I know you're in the middle of doing some reshoots or some new shoots for that.
Yeah, we Sean, who you've had on the show before, and Justin, you've had on the show before, and Kieran, you've had on the show before, are all part of the movie, and we pitched the first cut to the producer, and he had a whole bunch of notes. So we've been working on cutting pieces out, putting new pieces in, and just kind of filling it in to finish my little love letter to trash cinema.
Yeah, explain what Midnight Show is again, in case people didn't listen to those previous episodes.
Basically, if Quentin Tarantino was to direct a Robot Chicken episode, I think is the easiest way to...
That's not a bad description.
Yeah. That is a great tagline.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a bunch of fake trailers, fake drive-in concession animation skits, all wrapped in a night at the movies. So
when you come out with a DVD, can you put that on the back?
I will.
Awesome.
I'll quote my own movie.
Wallen.
I gave it a really good review.
So I know you're doing some more shoots. Do you have a goal from when you think we can see some of this?
2014 is what they told me we have, is the release date. So, yeah. Because I'll just keep adding
like
stuff. It's going to be like my Chinese democracy, you know? If so anyone gets that reference,
I got
I'll be really
it. I
happy.
Got it. So it's less of a goal and more of a deadline.
It's a deadline.
Shoot your
It's a deadline at this point. There was a lot of downtime because we made the movie for no money. You know,
right.
I've 10 years worth of saved up favors have gotten me to this point. So now that I've run out of favors and I have to sell my comic book collection and my movies and posters and stuff like that to keep the movie going. But you know, it's almost there. We just got a little bit more to do. We're shooting on Sunday a fake trailer. I added another adult film actor to the movie who just wants to be part of it.
Like a legit...
Yeah, Tommy Gunn. He's a...
I know that name.
And it's not the guy from Rocky V.
No.
Whenever I say that, you're like, you got the guy from Rocky V? I was like, no, I got the porn star.
And he only does gangster...
Yeah, that...
adult films, I'm guessing?
No, he kind of looks like Christian Bale. If Christian Bale
Tommy
had a
Gunn was
giant
also
dong.
Sylvester Stallone's character from Death Race.
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. So who else is in this film?
Ron Jeremy. It's not all porn stars. He's just
Those are just the two.
Lemmy, Andrew W.K., Lloyd Kaufman.
Some are trying to break into porn.
Yeah, yeah. Brental Floss.
Nice.
Justin Silverman.
I know him.
Bernadette DeSimone from America's... not America's Got Talent. What's the other... The American Idol.
Oh.
I was thinking, what's that karaoke show? but yeah, you know, she's from that and Say Yes to the Dress. So we got some interesting people and animation and actors
cool.
And zombies and gore and boobs and...
Now, if I understand the movie correctly, this was kind of crowdsourced, right? Like you kind of had other people bring in,
Well, yeah,
shoot.
Everybody was responsible for their own content.
That's awesome.
And instead of going out and waiting, like I always say, why... why go out and wait for somebody to give you money to make your art? Go out and make your art and then try to get paid for it, So, because, there's been a lot of really negative crowdsourcing recently.
Yeah. I'm sorry, there's a dirty word that I just used.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the panic go across your face when I said it was crowdsourced.
Some not-so-smart guys. But, you know.
And I'm going to guess this movie's going to be... rated PG or
TVY7?
It's
G rated. No. They're only going to show it on the Christian channels.
It's going to be on PAX.
Yeah, PAX. No, this is going to be pretty hard. There's a lot of gore and naked breasticles in it. And
that's my favorite type of breasticles.
Yes, exactly. Naked ones. But yeah, no, it's going to be true to the exploitation genre without being exploitive to the point of being in bad taste. It's a wink and a nod to the audience who gets the joke. If you don't get the joke, we'll still get to see some cool monsters and some cool gore and stuff like that.
If you don't get the joke, it's still shiny.
Yeah, if you don't get the joke, oh well. I'm going to do it anyway.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So where can I see information about Midnight Show?
You can go to Midnight Show Movie on the Facebook. I blanked on. I was about to say Friendster for a minute.
No, I think that's
that
wrong.
Mistake.
That is a poor marketing strategy.
Fell out of his time machine from 2002.
If you want information on Midnight Show, send a self-addressed postcard.
Exactly. You have to listen, and Ovaltine is the answer to the thing. And you can find us on Facebook. We got a pretty sweet poster, and then we have one trailer up on the Midnight Show YouTube page, but Justin made that. I don't remember what the thing is to find it. Just look around, you'll find it. And we got a new new trailer coming.
Check around your computer now.
Go on to Friendster.
Yeah,
check under
around
your keyboard.
It's when I was a kid, and they said, "Well, what does that mean?" It's like, look it up. Just go to Google and type in Midnight Show, and if you find us, good for you.
It's great. You find it.
Great. I'm happy
That's
for you.
Awesome. We made a great movie. I'm not going to tell you how to find
Mm-mm.
it.
Yeah. You come to us.
I'm
going to
be like Leonard Part 6 where Bill Cosby refused to take part in anything. Or Jim Carrey recently is like, oh,
kick ass too.
That was too violent for me. All right, well, then give your check back.
Yeah, what was he doing while they were filming? Like,
well, no, it was after the whole Connecticut
thing. I know,
thing,
but like,
you know.
Well, the thing
it
I heard
get less violent.
Was Jim Carrey made the movie, and then if you guys don't know, Jim Carrey is now railing against Kick-Ass 2 for being too violent. And he's like, I can't be a part of this anymore, and he's not doing any promotion for it. And everyone immediately was like, look how stupid Jim Carrey is ruining his own movie. And then people saw the movie, and everyone was like, that was really violent.
See,
that was unbelievably violent.
I didn't see it. I want to see it.
I know. I'm going to.
I wanted to see it. And then, like, reviews came out, and it went in the garbage.
But I'm okay with violence if it's done, you know, tongue-in-cheek.
Different
like,
ways, yeah.
It's obviously not, it's not the director going out and saying, you should probably go kill a bunch, a 16-year-old girl should go kill a bunch of people with a sword. It's parody. It's black comedy. It's like a Quentin Tarantino violence, you know?
Yeah.
I was, in the first one I took, it was almost anime-esque.
Exactly,
like, you know, 16-year-old blood shoot, way too much blood
and
shooting
first
out
off,
of people.
The comic books weren't that good. And
I've never read them.
Yeah,
have
I was
read,
never,
I've wanted to read them.
You know, and people go, oh, I hated the ending. I was like, I enjoyed it because it worked on Ghostbusters logic of starting super, super small and then ending up with a dude on a rocket pack shooting a bazooka, just like Ghostbusters started out at a college and ended with a marshmallow man. So it works on that kind of logic, so whatever.
The Stay Puft Marshmallow
I don't care
man.
Anymore. They don't make movies for me anymore. I've just realized I'm too old for everything anymore.
real quick, I got into an argument at work with someone that at the end of the Ghostbusters, they fought an Alka-Seltzer man.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, they fought the Alka-Seltzer man. I was like, no. It was the Marshmallow Man, Stay Puft Marshmallow.
Not even Michelin tire?
I'm pretty sure it was an Alka-Seltzer man. It's like, that's not a thing.
I don't think Alka-Seltzer had a man.
They didn't.
Yeah, it's that guy with the hockey puck on his head. There's like the little Alka-Seltzer boy.
I think you're thinking of Hockey Puck Man.
No, that's a different guy too. well, because Hockey Night in Canada back in the day used to have a little Hockey Puck Man.
I didn't live in Canada.
Oh,
back
me
in the
either.
Day.
But you know, every so often when it would rain and our TV would get a strange signal, it would come from the magical
Canadian
land of Canada.
Steven.
Yes. You know, so that's
I
how that
I don't know if you know this, but I wasn't in your house when that was happening.
I was painting the picture for you, though.
I love how much we're dating ourselves in this episode. They have
because
Friendster.
Of rain?
No, because we've got a Friendster. Have you been listening to the previous 9
no,
minutes?
No, I don't listen to the podcast, even while I'm on it.
In any case, I want to get us back on topic here. No, you've
Canada
also...
is not Narnia is what we were getting at there.
Yeah,
no one said that. That it's not.
I can't prove that.
So many Christian allegories. It was crazy.
What, in Canada?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like in Narnia.
Yeah, exactly.
Do they have a Christ lion?
The lion
they have like
was
a Jesus beaver.
At the end of the thing, and it's like Santa Claus is like, here's some weapons. Kids love weapons, you know?
Just like
but
Jesus would have
The
done.
Last book, turn the other cheek and give a kid a crossbow in case the
bow.
Hunger Games happens, which is not about the Ethiopian Olympics, as I found out the hard way when I went to see that movie.
I would like to apologize to our Canadian and Ethiopian listeners.
And Christian,
Olympians, and the Olympians listening.
But at the end of the Narnia books, it's like, you know, and I'm Jesus, the lion. Yes. And I would just hear it in the voice of Liam Neeson. He's like, you know, your beliefs are going to be taken. That was a terrible Liam Neeson impression.
From Australia.
It was a little lion-y.
The
so
size
I
of
understood.
A tangerine.
What is happening?
I don't know.
We
I've
are
lost
completely
my mind.
Off topic. We're 11 minutes in. This is insanity.
This is how things work in my head. It's just
no,
like,
I like this.
Yeah, it's like Toontown in there.
Ooh, let's talk about Roger Rabbit.
That movie holds up so well.
I know, it's still
well,
amazing.
Well, they're making a sequel.
Why? Just re-release it. I'll
watch
it.
They've been talking about making a sequel for that for like 100
I know,
years.
I know, but I think they officially signed, what's his name, Mario.
No, he's got like,
Bob Hoskins?
He's got really
Bob
bad,
Hoskins,
he's retired from acting. He's got really bad Parkinson's disease.
Oh,
I brought that down to made it real.
Now it's sad.
Now it's real.
Are you sure it wasn't Roger Rabbit that is part?
No, the last movie he was the last movie he was in was the one where there's people where they raised Jet Li as a dog.
Oh, wow.
Did you ever see that one?
Unleashed?
This is my dog.
And then Lucius Fox's biological daughter some little white girl, and I was like, I don't think you know how that works, Hollywood.
It's Lost World all over again.
Yeah, exactly. I hate it.
But no, they're going to do it with Bob, and every time he's on screen, they're going to have weasels like running all over him. They're going to animate in, and he's just going to be like, whoa! Roger, what are we going to do?
Because of the
weasels.
Parkinson's, in case you guys don't get that.
Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
You shake.
Yeah, exactly. So they should have brought Stuart Little back for a third one and just had him shaking all over the place.
Now, that's offensive, because I love Michael J. Fox. Yeah. We can make fun of Bob Hoskins all we want. But
there was a fourth one?
Yeah, because it was full
M. Night Shyamalan wrote the first one.
The first Stuart Little?
Yeah, he wrote the screenplay.
It turns out it's a mouse the whole time?
Mm-hmm. They called
but I was finding out random people that write screenplay. Like, the voice of Solid Snake wrote the Watchmen screenplay.
Yeah, David Hayter.
I was like,
yeah,
what?
X-Men 2 and...
I didn't know he was a writer.
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, Solid Snake.
But he's not the voice of Solid Snake anymore. Now
it's
Kiefer Sutherland. Yeah, it's like the dude from The Lost Boys.
That's the one you're going to go with?
24
Eye
fame.
For an Eye. How about Eye for an Eye? You ever see that one?
I mean,
no.
I've seen him.
Sally Field, where he killed
Lost
his
Boys, you had me. Now you're losing me.
No, I'm going to go even deeper.
He was also the voice in Phone Booth, so he's done voice work before.
Where they caught Bullseye in a phone booth.
Yes. That's how you get
him. I love that movie. I love
Phone Booth.
I thought Phone Booth was great.
I wanted to hate it because it works on the logic of like a pretentious student film. Like, the whole thing's going to take place in a phone booth. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, no. And then Joel Schumacher directed it, so clearly the phone booth's going to have nipples. You know? But no, that movie worked surprisingly well.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought that was a good flick. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. What were we talking about?
Yeah.
I heard you're going to be on Comic Book Men.
I am going to be on Comic Book Men. I shot two episodes for AMC's Comic Book Men. I was supposed to be just one, but I made Brian Johnson laugh really hard about a joke about gay male-on-male full frontal nudity. It wasn't a mean joke. It was kind of like a sweet joke. You could have told your mom that joke, but
full nude.
Yeah,
male,
you know.
All right.
So, and I don't want to spoil it because I know that the guy said it stayed in the episode, but they asked me to come back and I shot another thing. It was basically brought some movie posters out there because I have thousands and thousands and thousands of old movie posters. And
so you were like, I need to sell these to bankroll my movie.
Yeah, exactly. I need to sell these because they. When you go on a reality TV show, they say, like, so why do you want to be on the show? I was like, because the economy sucks, and I want to sell my crap to make money, because I like money to trade for goods and services. You know?
Makes
and they're
sense.
Like, all right, well, that makes sense.
I'm hungry.
And that was after I spent a year of my life working on that Sci-Fi Channel show that I didn't get cast on that's coming on, and I saw the commercial for it, Fangasm.
Oh, you were supposed to be on Fangasm?
I went all the way.
Not Heroes of Cosplay?
No. Oh, my God. That's another one that I have stories that I can't tell about the behind the scenes of the put together of that show.
It's a shame because now I want to hear them on our podcast.
I'll tell you off camera.
Start talking now.
I don't know where I am anymore.
Visual media.
I smoked a lot of peyote before I got here.
Nice.
So I spent a year and a half working on Fangasm when it was originally called Fandom Rising.
Oh.
Yes, we applied for that.
Yeah.
And we're turned down.
They came out and they shot some stuff for the pilot with me, and then they flew me to L.A. on two separate occasions, and then in the last moment, they cast actors.
Nice.
Oh, don't.
And you didn't hear that from me. I'm saying that if...
Who was that guy who just ran in here and said that?
The guy with the Buena Vista Social Club hat just came in here and said something completely
unfounded.
Yelled
that into the microphone. He put it in Newt's voice.
Yeah, I like it, though, because they got a girl with pink hair. They got a black guy. They got a nerdy kid.
Covering all the bases.
Yeah, it's like...
They got a nerdy kid for this?
Because a guy walked into a comic book store one time, just went, that kind
of
person.
I need one of those.
Yes. And then they were like, let's add a black guy.
Yeah.
We don't want to seem like we're being offensive.
Exactly. You know, so what are you going to do? So, yeah, that show is going to be a thing, and that's just going to just continue to make people think that, you know, if you read comics, that's the kind of person that you are. Like the Big Bang Theory, you know. It's like, I read comics, so I must have Asperger's.
That show hurts my soul so much.
Have you seen anything for The Bridge?
Yes.
And I listen to NPR because I'm a liberal college kid.
Yeah.
And they were talking about The Bridge. And like, oh, the main character has Asperger's. And they started playing clips of her. I was like, no, she's just rude. You don't know what Asperger's is. Like, I come across it a lot because a lot of nerds have Asperger's. But she's just
we're trying to get away from that stereotype. Like 30
not
seconds.
Me.
It's true. Yeah, not me. Nah, let's
I will be the little black Sambo of that stereotype. I don't even care anymore. I'm just going to... I'm going to relish it. I
was offended that that's what they think Asperger's.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, she speaks her mind. That's not like a woman. She must have Asperger's.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa!
What?
The
this
bridge.
Is highly offensive.
But isn't
now.
That the girl from Inglourious Bastards?
National Treasure.
National Treasure, that's it. I knew it was a blonde who looked kind of... Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right, so yeah, it's not...
I don't know. I wanted
she doesn't
to
have Asperger's.
That.
And the other nerdy job that I know you had was used to manage the Hall of Heroes, correct?
I ran a comic book store for 6 years here in South Jersey and saw so many things that turned me off to so many things. Like, I can't get into comics. I can't get into video games and anime simply because of the years of being exposed to anime and video game enthusiasts, you know.
It is weird as an outsider to enjoy it.
But yeah. It was stuff that I dug when I got into it, and I found that even, like, we went to Monster Mania Convention, which is this horror
the
convention.
The one in Cherry
yeah.
Hill? Yeah.
And I just realized walking around that I'm embarrassed to like some of the things that I like anymore because other people just kind of make me go, ew.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm like that. I mean, it's not everybody in our fan base who we all love. But
thank
there's,
you, Will.
I know, I got it. But there's certain shows that I want to watch, but I can't because of the people who watch it. And I'm like, it's all I can think about is the annoying people. I'm like, I have no one to talk
yeah,
to.
I mean, because we've had that issue with steampunk. We're like, oh, let's do some steampunk stuff. And you're like, you didn't buy this from the steampunk store. Hmm. I think it's because they wear monocles.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
anyone
they have
with
to be
monocles,
Euro-trashy.
I don't like that it's just like, let's just take something and make it steampunk. Oh, now the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man has a monocle. Oh, Ariel is steam powered. It's like, shut up. Just shut
steam
your
powered.
Shut your
it's
dirty
hard
mouth.
For steam to work underwater.
No,
from what
not.
I understand
in
about
Canada?
Steam.
Because the metric system.
Oh.
Yeah.
I feel so dumb mm-hmm. now.
I made a steampunk costume once, and I made it out of hardware stuff. Because I'm just like, I know how to do that. And I made cogs, everything glowed, like it worked. And then they were mean to me, and it hurt my feelings.
Because nerd culture used to be like, let's all band together because we're kind of under the, you know, it's something behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And then everybody was more open and out with their nerddom, and then... It started warring facets, you know. It fractured. It is like Lord of the Rings now, like, you know. the bronies are the orcs, and I don't know. It's just weird. It became far less of like something I wanted to be part of because, like, you know what? I remember what it was like to be the dude who was like, "Oh my God, you remember the Flash TV show?" And people would be like, "No, you're stupid." You know,
I remember
the
literally
Flash TV
a show. Commercial for that and being like, "I should watch this," and then it was canceled.
I remember when bad guys cloned the Flash to get their own Flash, and he was retarded.
And he was blue.
Yes,
because they couldn't get they didn't want to do Professor Zoom, so they made like Bizarro Flash.
Yes,
you know, I like Bizarro. He's
and
like,
he like his
bad
jeans
bye.
Didn't work, so he'd run. He ran too fast, and his body heated up, and he covered himself in what looked like butter to me.
But you know what?
As like a 12-year-old, I'm like, why is he covered in butter?
If it
packets?
Wasn't for the Flash TV show, we wouldn't have Mark Hamill as the Joker, because he was the trickster.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
I actually did learn this recently.
Yep, and he was awesome.
Because they actually fired a guy for Mark Hamill to be the Joker.
Yeah, well, it was supposed to be Tim Curry originally from Rocky Horror and Legend.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
And the Wild Thornberries.
And the Wild Thornberries.
Yes, the Wild Thornberries. I have a great Wild Thornberries story.
Of course you do.
So I ran a movie theater for years. That's where I met Justin Silverman. That's where I met Frank. And we were ushers. Not the singer, pop icon Usher.
You ushed.
An all-white Usher cover band.
You know, Usher. He's got so much money, but he can't afford swimming lessons for his kid.
Whoa, dude.
So.
I would like to apologize to all our drowned listeners.
Yeah.
Continue this story.
My little brother drowned, so my mom started killing people at a summer camp.
No, tell the story.
Okay.
Tell the Wild Thornberry story.
So Justin Silverman and I are cleaning theaters, and we come to the theater that has the Wild Thornberries movie in it, and I hear, and I'm like, what is that? So I pick up the trash on the floor, and I find a large female device.
Oh, come.
Yes. And it was on in the back of the Wild Thornberries movie. And
this
there was
is not a story about the Wild Thornberries, by the way.
But this is what I associate the Wild Thornberries with.
Like, this wasn't Tim Curry dressed as...
It could have been.
Nigel Thornberry taking that out of your hand and be like, well, that's mine.
I'm sorry.
Smashing.
And I said, were you using that? And he goes, yes, but I stopped because of sweet anticipation. patient.
I get that.
Yeah, it's a little Rocky Horror joke.
That's great.
And I earned my, you know, and I always say to people who are big Rocky Horror fans that that movie is not as good as Brian De Palma's Phantom of the Paradise, which is
I
in the same
know
ilk.
Know what that is.
Go watch that movie.
All right, I'll be
it is
bye.
Awesome. It opens with a Rod Serling narration. It's really, really a cool, weird, when De Palma was just doing coke like you wouldn't believe, and, you know. Paul Williams, who was the voice of the Penguin on the animated series, is the bad guy in it, so it was kind of cool.
You should go on some sort of quiz show.
Yeah. Or just because I have Asperger's.
Because I would love to see you on Millionaire and be like, you know, who did the voice of Tommy Pickles on the Rugrats? He's like, let me tell you how I know this.
Yeah.
I was murdering this guy in a sex shop.
Yeah. So I was watching this waterboarding video, and what?
We started this to talk about you working, managing a comic book store so you could tell us another crazy story.
Okay. Well, I have so many.
Tell the story we wanted to set up.
Okay. So good setup. Good callback. So before we went on, I was telling these guys this story that there used to be a comic book store down this end near the Atlantic City. And there was a gentleman who worked there whose name escapes me now, but we used to call him Slurpee because everything that he touched became sticky. I don't know what it was.
I imagine not just where he touched it, but like the whole item would, in like a superpower way, become sticky now.
The opposite of moist.
So he was hit by a SEPTA train or something, but he didn't die. He was just injured really badly, and he wasn't quite there. So he won this huge lawsuit. And
so he's Seth Rogen from Knocked Up.
Yes, exactly. And they're creating a fake Mr. Skin, right?
Yes.
So he had this girlfriend online, and he was being basically catfished before catfishing was catfishing, as I said to you before. So he moved to Florida to be with her, and then we came to find out from his mom, who came to pick up his paycheck, that that girl was already married and was keeping him there hostage and making him sign over his checks.
Slurpee? She kidnapped Slurpee?
She kidnapped Slurpee. Well, her boyfriend and her did, and then he was signing over all of his SEPTA checks to these people. And I was like, oh, my God, that's the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
She just reported on it. It's like, yeah, you know, he's a kidnap victim now.
Well, when
she give me his check so I can send it down
to him.
Well,
when she said that something happened to him, I assumed he got a computer virus or something like that, you know? But no, that's what happened. And then my follow-up to that was we brought him, when he came back, we gave him his job back like 1 or 2 days a week. And he gave blood one day when they used to do those blood drives in the mall courtyard. And I guess he gave too much blood and he went to sit down and he missed the thing and he went chin first into the table. And it was the first time that soda ever came out of my nose. Because I feel so much better when other people's lives don't go the way they want them to.
There's a rare point in my life when I'm like, I really hope I hurt my shin.
It's a little schadenfreude, you know. I like to. So, yeah, but I have, you know, comic book store stories out the ass because we just saw things that made us go, are you cognizant of, you know?
I do not know.
Exactly. Is there mirrors in your house? There used to be these two guys that used to come in. They lived in the group home that was there, and the one guy had the biggest upper body, like not muscular, but like Marshmallow Man. And he had the little tiniest legs I've ever seen, like a ventriloquist dummy. And his buddy kind of looked like the Monkey Man guy from that movie, The Golden Child. Remember the dude who had like the chain? And they would come into the store all the time, and we had the graphic novels all along the back wall, and I'd be there kind of talking on the phone to a woman or something like that, you know, to prove that, you know, comic book guys can get some. So he's over by
the
wall.
Your mom's a lovely lady.
She's lovely, and she puts out like they talk about.
Yes, she does.
Like, you know. We're from Virginia, though. It's okay. Now you have to apologize to the people from Virginia. Go ahead.
And to
any
mom,
drowning
like
Canadians who grew up in Virginia. But this guy's up against the wall, and I'll never forget this. He's got an X-Men comic book in his hand. And he comes over. He's like, "You got a bathroom here?" And I go, "No, man, I don't have a bathroom." And he goes back to reading his comic, and I was doing whatever I was doing. And then at some point I hear, and I was like, oh, what is that smell? He was wearing sweatpants, and it looked like someone dumped beef gravy down the back of his pants. But he didn't, like, crab walk out of the store. He stood there and finished the last chapter of the Dark Phoenix saga. And then I just, I followed him. I left the store unattended, just berating this poor guy all the way down the
wall. What happened? What you doing?
I'd rather go back to talking about drowned children.
Okay.
I really hope like you came back and just like the store was completely empty.
No, because we were down in
oh my god, this is the greatest scam ever.
We were down in the side of the mall where like the sun goes down and the Morlocks come out. There was nothing there, you know. I would disappear into the back room with my girlfriend for a while and not see anyone because we had the cameras there and I was like, "Oh, I guess nobody's coming in." The only downside to that is you have to make money in order to earn money.
Oh.
So I wasn't exactly drawing a paycheck.
that's more important.
Like a glorified babysitter, you know?
Yeah.
No, babysitters get paid.
In sex.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
Like those websites.
Babysitters never go for that deal when I pay
Okay. Well, you don't have any kids, Will.
that's how he tricks them.
That's weird.
They're sleeping. You just watch the house.
Oh, that is...
They're all 18, by the way. I don't know.
Has always been my dream, is to invite a babysitter over and to say, he's in his room sleeping.
and then just let
him sleep and then come back and be like, where's my son?
Or have a friend upstairs dressed some kind of feral wolf child, you know?
I do my own private scare tactics to babysitters. I mean, I have Tracy Morgan come out at the end. And
oh,
all
right.
Day,
oh, it's okay. Is that show still on? Is Scary Tag still on?
I don't
think
so. I used to love that show.
Because I know we used to be Sharon Doherty from
Charmed. Yeah, Sharon Doherty. And then
it was a Baldwin. And then they were like, nude scare tactics with Tracy Morgan. And they just dubbed Tracy Morgan over the old episodes.
Oh,
and were
okay.
Like, new scare tactics.
Yes.
Well, I thought they dubbed Tracy Morgan because he's unintelligible.
Yeah,
like,
they
I saw his cup.
They put peanut butter in his mouth and let him try to eat it.
He didn't know there's going to be a werewolf in there.
Yeah.
And then James Franco talks over him.
James Franco.
The interview section has gone on longer than usual.
Yeah.
Apologize to fans that love what you read and what you watch and what you're playing, because it's time for what you read and what you watch and you're playing. Talk about what you read and what you're playing. Newt, what you reading?
I have been catching up on all of Scott Snyder's Batman stuff, because I missed out on the Court of Owls completely, and I really, really like it. So that's what I've been reading right now.
How is it? Like, what's going on?
It's good. It's
what's Kate Crusader up to?
He finds out that there's a secret society in the city, which he thinks he knows so well, and Dick Grayson was part of it, and it introduces these cool characters, because if you think about it, the owl is actually the natural predator to the bat, and the Batman villain's whole thing is kind of cool, because he basically talks about the Batman, the Joker and all those guys talk about the family, that we're your real family because we keep you strong, everybody else makes you weak, and I thought that's such a cool idea, you know, so... I've been reading that. I'm kind of fresh into it and just reading it in paper because I refuse to do the Kindle thing because I'm old school, you know?
Yeah.
I like a solid comic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I'll read a book off of a Kindle.
I have, yeah. What are these books you speak of?
A book.
A book. It's like a chicken.
Without the... book.
So that's what I've been reading.
What have you been reading there, William?
I think you talked about Injustice last time or 2 weeks ago, but I wanted to, the Injustice game is based off of one of the Elsewhere comics, like the Superman alternate universe comics, and I started reading that one just because I wanted to read again. Superman's so much better as a villain.
He's a villain.
How do you stop him? Because he's unkillable and he can do everything. He's so interesting when he's the bad guy.
Magic. That's how you stop
him. They say that, and it's like on and off with them, though. Like, sometimes it affects him, and sometimes it does. You fight him with plot device, really.
Well, it was kind of cool the way they did it in Kingdom Come, where he was fighting Shazam.
Yes,
you know?
I did like that. Mm-hmm. And they hugged him real hard.
Yeah.
And Shazammed him.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to do a sketch where Lex Luthor is reading Superman's Wikipedia and reads that magic is a weakness, so he invites Superman over and does, like, bad card tricks for him, and Superman just starts throwing up everywhere. So pick a card. Okay. Is this your card?
the thumb trick.
Yeah. He's taking his thumb off. He's taking his thumb off.
How would you know?
I just want to do that famous meme of Lex Luthor stealing cakes. I even thought about doing that for Underbelly once because I had no people who own a bakery. I was like, and I have a friend who's bald. Let's do that. And everybody's like, that's a dumb idea. But it made
me
laugh.
That's an amazing idea.
So
Oh, so things just went wild in Jester's Playhouse. I haven't really been reading, but I made a vow that I was going to get some audiobooks.
At your parents' grave, I promise to listen to these books.
I'll listen to some books, but I didn't actually get books. Guys, I want no judgments when I say this. I found a podcast called Competitive Erotic Fan Fiction.
Oh.
That doesn't, why would I judge you? That's
awesome.
It is the greatest thing I've ever listened to besides this podcast.
Like now, competitive, I imagine, is two people trying to outread each other at the same time, like trying to yell louder and faster.
Or it's two guys have never had sex before, comparing what sex would be like in the Jim Henson universe. You know, it's like, so it's like Beaker and Ralph and, you know.
But the rules are amazing. They bring out these comedians and they're like, okay, you're going to have a half hour to write this erotic fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give you your first topic. You can either take that topic or get a second topic and the audience will choose.
Oh.
So the first guy goes up and is like, all right, your topic will be Pac-Man. He's like,
That's awesome.
That's perfect.
I immediately was
swallowing
like,
balls.
Great. Exactly.
Yeah,
you got Miss Pac-Man in there.
And he's like, you know what? Let me hear the other choice. And the other choice was the 1995-96 Chicago Bulls.
That's even better.
I got nothing.
Well, Rodman wasn't on that team yet, because if you add Rodman to the mix, that makes it a volatile.
Exactly.
But, you know, Scottie Pippen comes into the locker room one night really late, sweaty. It's like a Tennessee Williams novel. You know?
But first off, a lot of people write Back to the Future, which makes me happy. And literally on the drive down here, it was Kyle Kinane. Reading an erotic fan fiction between the Hamburglar and Mayor McCheese.
Nice.
Yeah.
And it was the funniest thing I had ever heard. So I've been reading, air quotes, competitive erotic fan fiction.
When I first, going to that kind of stuff, when I, speaking of the Hamburglar character, and the whole,
I got a story,
the whole
about
story do you have
the whole
about
McDonald's
that? I was
universe.
Decapitating a child.
So going back to Justin Silverman and I, we used to take all the little, you know, like when you go to the movie theater and they have like, oh, if you buy this large thing and this large thing, you get a free Kit Kat bar or whatever, and it has like a little flyer. We used to take all of those and make comics. And our one comic was retelling, we both like mouse a lot, so we retold the Holocaust through the characters from the McDonald's universe. And Justin's Jewish, so it's okay. So we had the fry kid shaved,
the
fry kid
off.
Shaved and being marched into the ball pit. And
wow.
We also this got to a story insanity. Where David Copperfield in 1985 tried to make the Space Shuttle Challenger disappear, but instead it blew up.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, it's what happened. Alternate universe.
And then Job stole it.
Yeah, and they took that from me.
So new. What are you watching?
These guys play.
A little bit of Star Wars.
Star Wars. That guy's got some trees.
Yeah, he's playing trees.
How you doing, buddy?
No time for TV or movies or anything.
I haven't really. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying really hard not to watch other people's stuff right now while I'm trying to, so I don't get influenced by other stuff. Like a lot of people said that, you know, they're like, oh, you took that joke from somewhere, but I hadn't seen it because I just have, I don't care about, like when we were doing Underbelly, I don't care about other people's shows that much unless I'm like friendly with them or like Red Letter Media. I love everything they do. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, so there's only a couple things, but when it comes, I've been watching old movies, like just more cult movies and DVDs of trailers just to make sure that I hit the beats right.
Right.
You know, I skipped going to see The Wolverine because I just don't care anymore. Mm. You know?
Yeah, I didn't care to see it either.
Well, we talked about the plot was him losing his, like, you know
was X-Men
another movie where someone loses their powers.
Yeah.
And then,
that's what you want. You want your character to lose the only things interesting.
And then in the next one, he'll fight a copy of himself.
Yeah. Like Superman 3 with Mean Superman in the junkyard. Although Superman 3 has that scene where all the robot parts fly on that lady, and it was horrifying when I was a kid. I was just like, oh, my God.
What's the one where he blows out the Olympic flame?
I think that's 3.
That's
when
3?
He's a bad guy, yeah.
That's my favorite.
Where Richard Pryor shows up, and he's just like, it's the Richard Pryor movie. I'm on crack, and my hair's on fire.
I don't think that's what he says. But
no, that is what it was taken from.
It's a deleted scene.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. DVD extra.
Yeah.
So what have you been watching, Will?
Sam, I wouldn't know. Every time you do this, I just want to do movie news.
Oh, okay.
Because it's like watching.
Okay.
Although I'm not Now that I think about it, because there's going to be Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
I realize I don't want to watch that.
No.
It sounds...
Really?
But it's going to be Vin Diesel.
Galaxy.
I know. Vin Diesel and...
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper doing voices.
Exactly. So the two most known actors...
And Treebeard from Lord of the Rings.
Yes, the two most known actors are not going to be seen in the movie, which I think is kind of cool. James Gunn is directing it. I met James Gunn on the set
from Project Runway?
Yes. No, yeah. James Gunn. James Gunn, who did Slither and Romeo and Juliet. I met him on the set of...
Slither and Romeo and Juliet?
No, Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, excuse me.
It was he started with Troma. And when they made Poltergeist, I met him on the set of that. And
Poltergeist?
Yes. I have seen that
one. Go watch the bathroom scene where the dude basically defecates everything in his body. And it's just so over the top and horrible.
Bad movie.
But it's terrible. But he was a PA on that movie, and it was kind of cool because now he's directing big Marvel movies. So it gives you kind of hope that one day, if you work hard enough, you can do that kind of stuff. But Guardians of the Galaxy looks like Galaxy Quest meets Ghostbusters. I'm totally down with that. And I don't care about the comic book.
That's a great film right there.
Because my concern was that I liked the Avenger. That was a cool movie. I thought they did a really good job, but I don't like... There's too much going on now because that's going to link in with Guardians.
But don't you think it's cool that, like, you know, I grew up as a DC Comics kid, not a Marvel kid.
No, I don't think that's cool.
No, but I mean, you're going to get a movie about like the Guardians of the Galaxy before you're going to get a movie about the Flash.
Yeah,
which is
because DC struggles so hard
because they go too far from the source material. Like, I liked Man of Steel.
Unless it's Watchmen.
Everybody tells me. And that's the whole thing. Everybody's like, oh, I hated Watchmen because it didn't follow the book. Aside from the vagina monster at
exactly.
the end,
yeah.
they got as good as they could get.
I thought that movie's phenomenal.
He yells Rural when he goes out the window.
Exactly.
I bought the DVD and like paused it and played it and like just to hear like make sure he was getting all the R's and the A's.
And it just you get these people who are like, you know, they're just angry for the sake of being angry. I was like, that's the closest you're ever going to get to an unfilmable piece of literature like that. I mean,
yeah.
Look at at least they treated it with some kind of respect. I mean, look at League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and From
no,
Hell.
I will
you
not
know?
Look upon it at all.
I actually really like that movie.
Which one?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh,
I
want
to
make
fun. It had nothing to do with the comic. By the way, it was just a fun
Sean
Connery.
Let's add Tom Sawyer to it.
Why not?
He retired from acting because of that movie because he hated the director so much. He's like, I'm out of here.
Just what?
Headbutts his wife on the way out.
I love Sean Connery's spousal
abuse
great.
Jokes. Mm-hmm. Spousal abuse jokes.
He hits his wife.
Yeah,
exactly. You guys don't know that.
It's fine because he's Henry Jones Sr., you know?
Yeah, he's Bond.
He hits Indy's mom?
Penitent man. I don't know.
So,
but Guardians of the Galaxy is cool because it opens things up and it gives you hope that one day you could see other characters that you're like, oh, I really like that character. They could make a movie out of it because this worked. Like, Doctor Strange is the character that I would most like.
Yeah,
I would love
to see a Doctor Strange
So
movie.
If something like Guardians of the Galaxy makes money, and it's such a broad concept, it could open the door to other things, you know, that'll have a little bit more nerd.
I'm also starting to get into the Avengers Academy storylines.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'd like to see these guys more. I like Hazmat.
I think it's just because I have, like, superhero movie anxiety. And now there's so much coming. Like, I was worried about Avengers. I was like, it's not going to work. It's going to suck. It's going to ruin everything.
The first half of that movie sucked with the Loki pokey stick and stuff
like
that.
I know, it was fun.
I loved it.
Really? When that movie started, everything up to when they flee the first base, I was like, oh, no, this is what this is going to be. And
really?
Yeah,
I loved every second.
And I don't like I don't like the – what's the show with the guy whose voice changed How I Met Your Mother? Like, he's an adult already. They made this joke on Family Guy already, but I went, oh, yeah, I never thought about that. He's already an adult, but his voice is going to become Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But I don't like that girl. She has no charisma. And I was like, oh, you're going to make her that character that has –
You don't like Robin Sparkles?
No, I don't like Robin Sparkles. What's her name? Lisa Sprinkle, the porn star? What?
No, that's what she is in the show.
Oh, okay. I didn't like that opening. And then it got good, but it got good because everything Marvel would not exist if it weren't for Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
Because Downey Jr. just...
Because he is Iron Man.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And he just makes every scene that he's in better.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. I don't understand, like,
the guy who plays Loki isn't bad, but women are like in love with him. Oh,
yeah,
don't
he's
get
a
it, you know.
Huge fan base.
But I think that the Thor guy is perfect.
Oh yeah,
and everybody's like, oh, that's not how Thor would be. I was like, what?
It's better. I'm a big Thor fan.
Yeah.
I don't like most of Thor.
No.
Like, he's annoying.
My favorite Thor story is the Walter Simonson one where they turn him into a frog.
Yes, that was Strange Worlds.
Yeah,
like, mm-hmm. Before it was Thor.
Because it's got that great title where it's, or that great cover. It's like, what do you call a frog with the power of Thor? Whatever he wants. That's what it says right on the cover.
The same thing that happens to everything.
Yeah. Oh boy.
Might be the worst line in the history of movies, the X-Men line. God.
I was watching a whole thing of, like, the worst lines in movies, and it made me laugh so hard. I was like, wow, I remember seeing this in the theater and being like, oh, it's awesome, and then going, oh, wait, no.
I'd like to see a compilation of people saying the title of the movie in the movie, because that's get up and clap in the theater if they do it. They get it in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if Vin Diesel's like, we're not going fast 6 enough, I'm like, yeah!
I don't know how they keep making those either.
That movie's phenomenal.
They make so much money.
Did you ever see that video where it's like it was The Onion? They were interviewing the little boy who directed the Fast and Furious movies, and it's just a child. He's like, and then the car went over the thing and went boom, and they're like, yeah.
I saw the first Fast and Furious and thought it wasn't great, and then I didn't watch another one until Fast 6. The trailer's so like, and they fight a tank with a car. I'm like, all right, you got $10
with
out
the
of me.
Rock.
Yeah, the Rock fights a tank.
Yeah, they
with
just
a car.
Add the Rock to things now. It's like, oh, G.I. Joe wasn't good. Now the Rock is in it. Is it, you know?
But he's great.
Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants with the Rock.
I hope he keeps the same costume because he wears the same costume in Fast 6 and G.I. Joe.
Oh, really? I got so mad at myself for the G.I. Joe sequel because I went into it knowing it was going to be bad, and then it was bad, and it upset me, and I was like, it's my own fault. I'm a masochist. It's like buying a ticket to Mr. Popper's Penguins and then getting
I paid $3 on demand to get the first G.I. Joe movie, and I turned it off.
Yeah.
And, like, threw the remote. I was like, you got it. You got my $3. I hate you.
And what was Joseph Gordon-Levitt doing in it? And then he wasn't in the second one, and then...
Yeah, well, he was,
he
was Cobra.
In a time loop.
Yeah.
But he was Baroness's brother who dated Duke. I was like, why? Just dress him up like the village people.
They had the flashback scene where, like, they were soldiers still, but it was 1940s. Like, they were like, there was, like, a flapper in the background or something. And I was like, what year is this set? And it's on, like, the cool, like, Batman animated series.
Yeah, where
it's like, it's modern technology, but, you know, and there's blimps and stuff. But I was just like, what am I watching? And then I was like, oh, it's the guy who directed the Mummy movies. Of course it's going to be terrible.
I like the first
You like
Mummy.
The first Mummy
I'm not
movie?
Saying it's
well,
good.
Well, then the second one had The Rock in it.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm the Scorpion King. And
this podcast has become very rock-heavy in the last couple weeks.
The last moment,
And he's
going to
be Hercules now. And
He's joining everything that I love. What am I watching?
Breaking
Bad. I don't know if you guys are like me, but over and over again, I've been watching whatever the hell that new J.J. Abrams clip is.
I didn't see it yet, but I heard about it.
J.J. Abrams.
Stranger or something?
It's like The Stranger or Who is the Stranger, and it's a shot of the stars, and then it's he came knowing nothing. He'll leave knowing nothing.
So it's like listening to this podcast.
Yeah. and then it's like some dude that's like in the water, like freaking out. It's like, it'll start in the water. And end in the water.
Please be a sequel to Lady in the Water.
And then be reborn in the water.
So it's
and then, like, weird noise, and then it was something like he will remember. I've watched it a lot, and I don't remember a lot of it. And then it like, some guy in black and white with a bald head with his mouth sewn shut, stares at the camera, and then it just ends. And no one's really sure what it means.
This is a prequel to the new Star Wars movie. That's what
I'm saying.
Everyone's like, what's happening in Star Wars? And then a lot of other people are like, oh my God, J.J. Abrams is doing The Crow.
I was going to say Cthulhu or Aquaman.
Yes. Cthulhu Man.
Sounds like an Aquaman. Yes.
I don't like when he tries to be... Like, I like J.J. Abrams, considering that he started out writing music when he was 16 for the movie Night Beast, which was this terrible B-movie, and he now is directing Star Wars. But I don't like when he tries to be, like, the secrets of everything. Like, Super 8, it's like, okay, it's little kid, you know...
I'll talk about this all the time. Cloverfield, I did all the viral marketing. I thought it was so good. I loved every bit of it. And then Super 8 came out, and yeah. he started to do it. I'm like, yeah, here it comes again. And it was so he tried to do it again. It was so
exactly.
crappy yeah. and poorly done. Mm-hmm. Like he got, I don't know if he got lucky. Or
and then
a different
I started watching Lost, and I gave up because it was clear that they didn't know what they were doing, and they were just
yeah.
making it up as they went. So you
well,
know,
that's what
they've
I
admitted
hate Cloverfield
it at
now. Because there's the part where the chick gets bitten by the little parasite mm-hmm. monster, and then she goes behind the screen. Mm-hmm. I watched that with DVD commentary, and Abrams is like, yeah, she's supposed to get shot in the head, but the way the effects came off looked like she maybe exploded. So we was like, well, whatever, what people decide. And I was like, you don't know!
Yeah. Well, remember when they released the first poster for Cloverfield and had the Statue of Liberty without the head, and people thought that it was the prequel to Escape from New
yes.
York? And I
yeah.
was like, that's amazing. I would have never even thought about that. Thank you, Internet. And then... the internet well, didn't talk back.
Yeah.
It was like, no, it's Voltron.
Here's my only
oh,
fear.
Yeah, they said that as well.
I hope it's just not another franchise. I'd like it. I want it to be independent. Because
no, it's probably
going to
be a TV thing.
We are trusting J.J. Abrams with too many things that
yeah.
we know. We've given him Star Trek, Star Wars, and he's in talks with Valve to do a Valve movie. They didn't say which Valve
he's
gonna franchise.
He's
going to
get on a plane with Joss Whedon and somebody else, and it's
no,
gonna, it's going
to no.
crash.
They should never be in the same
they're
plane.
They're
going to
go down.
They should be split up like the president and the vice president.
It's going to be like, and now I'm going to totally blank. There's three famous musicians that got on the plane.
Oh, the Big Bopper.
Magicians?
And yes, yes.
Musicians.
One David, of the, Copperfield
David Copperfield.
And Penn and Teller.
And Penn and Teller.
Penn and Teller all got on a plane.
But
know, then they weren't in the wreckage.
The amazing Jonathan. Yeah, it was the,
no, he
the
died.
Richie Valens and the Big Bopper and somebody John, else. Yeah. Let's all sing the day the music died.
Right Said Fred.
Yes,
wait,
Right
whatever.
Said Fred.
It was Right Skinner, Fred.
Skinner.
He was too sexy to survive that crash. but yeah, I get what you're saying. But you know what? J.J. Abrams is also in a very advantageous position with Star Wars because no matter how good or bad, he's coming off of the abortion that was the Star Wars prequel.
Yeah, it's hard to mess up.
Yeah.
It's like why people like Batman Begins so much because it was coming off of Batman and Robin. So, you know.
That's true. That is true. Wow, that movie's so bad. Let's move on. Newt, what are you playing? Do you have time to play anything?
I don't
play
video games.
I play anything else?
Board games?
I was in a really bad car accident recently,
Vinyl?
So I can't play hockey until my physical therapy is done, not to bring the podcast down.
Too late.
Again.
But that's usually what I do is I'm a hockey guy, so but now I can't, so I've just been going for
what about a
bike
pen and
rides.
Paper hockey RPG?
Yes, I've been doing that.
That's mm-hmm. good. That's good.
I've been playing mind games with the women in my life.
That's fun. That's fun.
Wicked games like I'm Chris
I
Isaac.
I kidnapped a guy named Slurpee and yeah. now I'm having
it's like that
right.
V for Vendetta
Don't
scene.
Player,
I need him to believe
game.
That this whole other world is you are free to leave whenever you want, Slurpee. All these checks are out there. He goes out on the balcony and raises his arms.
Septic checks are in the rain.
I'm going to skip you for now, Will, because I know you have a lot to say.
All right.
You got a bit.
I don't.
I thought you were going to hit the thing. I'm skipping you.
I'll hit the. Don't skip me because I'll hit
right,
the doomsday
go,
button.
Go,
Nobody
go.
Can see what I'm doing. I don't have a bit though. Like I just.
I thought you were
going to
play it over the thing.
Is it going to work?
I don't know.
Is that Megatron?
Yes, Megatron did the voice.
Oh,
machine.
Okay. The opening scene of Blade, like blood starts coming out of the sprinklers.
That is the Saints Row 4.
The Doomsday
Doomsday
dubstep
button.
Oh, is it? Why does it have the Fleur de Lume thing?
Because that's the Saints symbol.
Oh.
That's their symbol.
Oh, okay.
They're French. I always have a problem with that, too, because to me it's just the French national symbol.
Yeah, or like it used to be on the Quebec Nordiques thing.
Yeah.
Just reminds me of all the people who died in Katrina. They built
so Will, so Will, so Will, so Will, so Will.
Now because they were in the
so Saints Will,
stadium.
So Will, so Will,
did you, hold
so
on, real
Will.
Quick, real quick. Let me stop you.
So Will.
Did you know that
so
after
Will.
Katrina,
Will,
trannies were
Will.
On the street.
How's Saints Row 4? How's Saints Row 4, Will? How is it? How's the video game Saints Row 4? What you're playing is Saints Row 4. How is it?
It's great.
Awesome. Thank you for joining us at the Plus 2 Comedy Podcast.
That is a true story that
I was playing. I've been playing Super Mario Brothers crossover. It's been great. I have it. It's been great. I did a Link run through and I did a Bill run through and they were both a lot of fun.
Have you seen the Super Mario, the Dream World game, the DS game?
No. What's this?
It is. It's in the same. What's it called? Nobody knows.
Yeah,
Dream Team.
We'll
if it takes
audience.
That long.
It's along this side of Bowser, along the lines of Bowser's Inside Story, where there's a thing going on both screens, except the top screen is Luigi's dreams that Mario's in for some reason, because somebody at Nintendo liked Inception.
Yeah.
And all of Luigi's...
Luigi doesn't even dream about
himself.
He's
a dream.
No, Luigi's
dream.
Dreams are little Luigi's trying to, like, live their lives and be happy, and then Mario starts Katamari, like, putting them into a big ball and stepping on them and chasing them, and they're like, please no, Mario. He's like, get in my ball. And, like, come help me save my girlfriend.
And then DiCaprio and Juno show up.
Yeah.
With the
Michael Caine's there, but not for long.
The fortune teller from Drag Me
to
Hell. It's like, what are you doing here? Just kicking back all the residuals from Jaws 4. He couldn't go to the Oscars and accept his Oscar for Hannah and her four sisters because he was shooting Jaws 4.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. I heard Jaws 4.
Yes, Michael Caine
was in
Jaws
4. Jaws the Revenge.
He won an Academy Award for Hannah and her four sisters or two daughters or something like that. That's a movie I never saw. And he couldn't go to accept his award because he was filming Jaws 4 with Mario Van Peebles.
Which was robbed of an Oscar.
Yes, it was, because they were bold enough to have a shark that roared like a bear.
Yeah, and had a death scene.
Yes.
They took pictures of it with a Polaroid camera, and then the shark came out of the water and went, ah, no!
I watched a great documentary about Jaws.
But it went, hey, boo-boo.
Yes. Yeah. Just watched a great documentary about Jaws the other night, and it just made me so angry how those movies descended into what they descended in. It's like, why couldn't they just make other cool killer shark movies, like, instead of revolving around the one family? It's like that shark literally had a vendetta against that
sharks,
guy,
because it died unless it was like an immortal shark that would reform
like Ghost Shark.
Yeah, like it had a phylactery somewhere.
Yeah,
that, like, Harry Potter wasn't killing the phylactery.
Well, there was the Nazis were building sharks at the center of the earth and releasing them, and then we had to build robots to fight the killer sharks.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's a really good movie. It's called Shark Puncher.
I was going to call it Pacific Rim.
I was going to say Shark Pacific Rim. I was in the middle of you two.
Pacific Shark Rim in 3D IMAX, starring Brendan Fraser. Because every movie he's in, he sounds like he has an inner ear infection. You ever watch a Brendan Fraser movie? He always talks like he's got water in his ear or something like that, you know?
It doesn't change how I talk.
Okay.
Then
they made...
I'm going to get a bottle of water and dump it in
your ear.
Okay.
Pour it in your ear.
What was that journey to this? Made a sequel to another movie with the other movie's characters.
Yeah, it was Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yes,
and then it was just Journey 2 with The Rock.
Because they made a sequel to. They made a sequel to Escape to Witch Mountain remake with the characters from
The Rock.
The Rock, yes, because he was the taxi driver in the other one.
Somebody's got to make a Rock, like, chronology, like a... Because they do the Leonardo DiCaprio, like, movie, like, his character and where it fits in every movie.
Yeah.
I want that done with The Rock, because I need to know...
Because people say, hey, that's that guy with all those muscles that I like. Let's go see that movie.
I think that all the time.
Yeah.
I used to think that about Vin Diesel, but now it's not enough
but
muscle.
Genuinely,
now that The Rock's involved.
Yeah, but genuinely, like, I've seen movies where The Rock actually was the best part of the movie. Like, Be Cool is a terrible movie.
Oh, I love
Be
Cool.
But he's really... I just hate John Travolta.
Okay.
You know? So, yeah, it's when he's not trying to get handies from masseuses or something like that. He was great in The Rundown.
The Rundown was a good
movie.
It was a cool film.
Yeah, you got a car key. Look at that. We're going to have a key party when this is over.
I want the Saints Row.
And he was good in that, the dude who made the Donnie Darko, that terrible movie that made no sense.
S-Darko?
Southland Tales. He was really good in that as well.
Oh, that's the one where it's The Rock and Kevin Smith and
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, it's like the
Buffy's
weirdest
in
cast.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. It's terrible.
Sounds like a fan fiction I wrote.
Yeah. It's like, and then James Bond showed up and, you know.
And all that Daniel Craig stuff.
And
Sean
Gizmo.
Connery 30 years ago, James Bond.
Yeah.
That's who shows up.
George Lazenby,
though. I like Timothy Dalton.
So do I. I said this in our James Bond episode. The Rocketeer is awesome.
Yeah, it is.
That's a good movie.
It was pretty good. It was pretty good.
And he was good in Hot Fuzz.
That's
a great movie.
That's very true.
You know?
But
Flash Gordon.
We're going to have to move on to our game. We're running out of time.
All right.
We're almost an hour in already.
Oh, my God.
We've brought the prizes that we've defended almost every week. We got.
Nobody can take them.
Yeah, we have our Pacific Rim poster, Pacific Shark Rim poster.
Oh, nice.
Which, if you win, you could sell on Comic Book Man.
Oh, there you go.
Then you can come back.
Is it the one sheet? Oh, cool.
Yes. So this is a rare.
It's not
poster,
in good condition.
Yeah, I keep rolling it up, but hey, whatever. And also our Ultra Force.
Wow.
That we stole from Kieran.
Remember the 90s?
I do. I used to tell Noah about this show like once a month, and he'd call me a liar
until Kieran showed up with a toy from it. Now he tells us about it every week on this podcast.
When they tried really hard to make like Savage Dragon into something that little kids would like, you know, and the Max.
I liked Savage Dragon.
Oh, no, so did I, but I was like, this isn't going to fly. It's Cadillacs and dinosaurs, kids aren't going to like that, you know?
And Newt, what did you bring?
I brought a mint-on-card Michael Keaton action figure from Batman Returns.
God, I miss those toys so much.
Where you put on his mask and he's Batman.
You put on his
Batman? And did you know that a little Batman Returns...
Does he have a walkie-talkie? Is that what that is?
Because sometimes Batman needs to...
A giant walkie-talkie that's bigger than his head.
He needs to be C.W. McCall and do Convoy on there, you know? But little-known fact, did you know that Robin was originally supposed to be in Batman Returns? It was going to be Marlon Wayans. And
I did know
this. This costume was designed for the movie, and that's why the figure has a flat-top haircut. Because they wrote him out of the movie after everything started, and then they just painted it white. Because Hollywood is racist.
Wow. Well, I think kids just know that Batman wasn't black in the movie.
Well, Robin could be black. He's the boy wonder. You telling me that black people can't be wonderful?
No, that's not what
no,
I said.
No, you're really taking that out of context,
sir.
God, I love the... We got toys of little penguins with missiles that shoot out.
And how ballsy was that movie? It's like, we're going to make a big summer movie. Oh, yeah, it came out in the summertime.
Yeah.
Where penguins are going to have rocket packs.
Yeah.
And that movie also has my favorite little moment in a Batman movie ever. When he's on the Bat ski boat and he's going through the sewer and the penguin fires a rocket and it just misses him. And you have that one little beat where Michael Keaton looks back and you could just tell in his mind, I've beaten the Joker, I've done all this stuff, but I almost died by a penguin with a rocket pack.
That's
such a
DeVito's
human moment where he almost died by a penguin with a rocket pack.
That's a good moment. That's a good point. I haven't seen that movie forever.
I love that movie. It's got my favorite score of any big superhero movie ever. So that's what I brought.
Now, for host versus guest versus audience, we need an audience member. But, of course, they need to bring their own prize. Who brought a prize?
One guy's got like a bus ticket in his pocket or something.
All right, so I'm seeing a pack of magic cards.
There we go.
Is that it? Does nobody else bring anything? No?
You probably get a better reception when I'm not here.
We do, actually. Yeah. I didn't want to say it while you were here.
That guy's really offensive, and I'm offended.
All right.
I was going to offer a prize.
No takers on these Batman and Ultra Force action figures, so I guess we have to go with a deck of magic cards. Come on up here.
I'll
turn your microphone on.
The action figure comes with gloves he can attach, and one's got a batarang fused to his hand.
Is it fused?
Yeah, it doesn't come out. He just pretends to throw it.
Remember back
he
in the day,
they had
the Joker figure where his face was orange, and then you put water on it, and it turned white. I was like, oh, it's like that scene where she threw water at him.
If you want to do that scene
with your toys,
kids with really limited imaginations that like to stay canon.
I don't want to come up with any extra stuff.
I was so excited
we
that
don't
I
need
actually
an
brought
Alfred
a pen.
Figure. Let's do a
and
Bob the
broken.
Goon figure. You know,
son of a. All right, whatever. My pen is broken. Special guest or audience member, please talk into the microphone.
Hey, everybody.
Talking more. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Hey, everybody. I'm Chuck.
Hi, Chuck. Thanks for joining us here.
Stopping by.
And we got Newt, and we got Will. And we're going to play Did It Really Happen? Movie Edition.
Ooh.
Newt's going to know everything.
Yeah, that's not fair. He knows.
Oh, he's going to... I'm going to tell you right now after this conversation. Newt is going...
This confrontation.
Newt is going to crush this game.
I heard there was going to be a game, so I pushed a Q-tip really far in my ear to make it easier for
Thank
everyone.
God.
I did like a Flowers for Algernon thing.
That is another solid reference from Newt.
So that's the book, because the movie was called Charlie.
This is true. Very good. Or it could have been the play. In any case, I have a bunch of movies here. Some of them are real films that exist. Some are ones that I've made up and am secretly pitching to Newt to be in Midnight Show. So I've got them all mixed up here. We're going to start with Chuck. Everyone will get a chance to guess. It's time for the first movie. The Change. A mother is driven insane and kills her family due to the effects of menopause in The Change.
We are watching Newt's face closely.
I'm going to say it's a real movie, and it sounds like it's on Lifetime.
Chuck says real movie.
Starring Meredith Newt. Baxter Burney.
And David
I say
Applewell.
That is a fake movie.
Fake from Newt.
I like going after Newt. I'm going to say it's a fake movie, too.
It is a fake movie. No. I made that one up. The Change. But I think it'd be good for Midnight
That would
Show.
Be a good movie.
All right. We're going to start with Newt this time.
All right.
Night of the Blood Apes.
Oh.
A mad scientist saves his son's life by giving him an ape heart, which turns him into a sex-crazed monkey hybrid.
It was also called Beast of the Yellow Moon. Al Arkoff produced it. I have the poster framed in my place.
Good poker mouth.
I got my answer.
It has an actual open heart surgery film in it.
Really? Like,
yeah, like stock footage?
Stock footage of an actual open heart surgery.
Nice.
I'm going to say it's a real movie.
It's not your turn to say that it's a real movie.
Sorry, I got really excited about that one because I just watched that a couple nights ago, actually.
How was it?
Terrible.
Terrible? All right, everyone gets a point because everyone's going to say it's real.
Now, I was waiting for us to all say it's real and Newt be like,
throw down the microphone and leave. He knows the game's not over, right?
I just got to fill for a couple minutes.
Start with Will on this one.
No.
Me and Gus. It's the story of a father who struggles to deal with the fact that his son is not only a murderer, but the reincarnation of Genghis Khan. In Me and Gus. Is that a real movie?
I was going to say that it wasn't until that end part, and then I'm not sure if you're crazy enough to add that.
You're weighing, like, is it a real movie versus how clever is Noah?
Exactly. I'm going to say it's real.
Real from Will. Chuck?
I'm going to say it's not real.
Chuck says it's not real. Newt?
I'm going to say it's not real.
No.
That is not real. I invented me.
It
would have
been
Gus.
Better if somebody had to explain who Genghis Khan was, and then we'd bring up, we could talk about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure for an hour.
Yeah.
And he really loves Bon Jovi's Slippery
it's
When
true.
Wet.
They get better.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to start with Chuck. Night of the Lepus, the tale of a group of genetically altered man-eating giant bunnies.
I'm going to say true.
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 All right, not one of the options. The options are real or fake.
It's going to be a real movie. So it is.
Real movie.
Exists.
I am saying it's a real movie.
Newt is saying it's a real movie.
I was going to say it's a real movie. I didn't know the name of it, but I have seen a movie about giant.
AIP produced it. It came out around the same time as Frogs and Slither.
I know that
because it was produced by the people who I worked for in Connecticut, who also made Let's Scare Jessica to Death.
That's why I don't trust Rabbit. The opener is a kid. A kid's in a genetic lab, and his dad's like, you're going to have one pet bunny, but take care of me. He's like, all right. And he drops it in the parking lot, and that's how the movie starts.
At the end of this, you're going to have to tell me which one of these movies is the best,
yes.
And then we'll watch it. We'll have a party after this. It'll be great. We started with Chuck on the last time, so we're going to start with Newt with Blood Feast, which is the story of a caterer who must collect various women's body parts in order to awaken an Egyptian goddess.
That is true.
Thanks,
I'm just
Newt.
Saying that's how you would do it if you were going to.
that is how you awaken
an
Egyptian goddess.
Yes, I believe that would be a movie.
It was a documentary.
Right.
Newt says it's real.
Yeah.
Well,
I want to say it's not real. I'm not just gonna copy Newt the whole time.
All right.
I'm going to be my old man.
I'm going to say it's real because I think I've seen it on Netflix.
That is a real movie.
Directed by Herschel Gordon Lewis. The first
Newt.
It is he's the godfather of gore. It's the first gore movie.
I tried to find the most obscure ones I could.
Nah.
And this
who
is
wrote
going
the screenplay.
Super
Herschel Gordon Lewis.
Who the best boy was.
Mm-hmm.
Starting. My favorite key grip is in that film. All right, starting with Will.
You only know that because of that song.
Yes, I do. Well, I'll have to add that as a link afterwards. It's a great song. I'll add it at the end of the podcast, why not? Will, Is this a real movie? Porno Holocaust. A group of castaways wash up on an island where a sex-crazed radioactive monster lives that kills women with its penis.
No. Although I'd really like to see it.
Not a real movie from Will.
I don't think it's a real movie either.
Chuck doesn't think it's real either. Newt, what do you think?
I'm going to be different and say it is a real movie.
It's a real movie.
Hey, gang. Sorry to interrupt, but just so you guys know, we lost the podcast feed for a couple seconds here, so there's going to be a weird break. And just so we're all clear, Porno Holocaust is a real movie. Okay, back to the show.
All right, we're going to keep going here. I don't know how much we lost.
We might have lost Chainsaw.
We might have lost Chainsaw.
Idle Chainsaw.
Just to repeat that one. Chainsaw, the police think they have captured a man who has killed people with a chainsaw, only to discover that it was the chainsaw itself doing the work.
I'm going
to
say it's a real movie.
And it was fake. Yes. It was fake.
Still saying it's a real movie.
We go with Will. All
right.
Will, Strays. A family is tormented by stray cats that live in their new home. Strays.
I say that's real.
Will thinks it's real, Chuck.
Can Newt go before me?
Nope.
No.
No.
I'm going to say it's not real.
I'm going to say it's not real.
That is a real movie.
Yes! Wow. I thought I've seen that.
Newt got one wrong.
I've never even
it's
heard
amazing.
Of that.
It's the one of these that I've actually seen
where
these cats, they move in and the dad is like, why am I always sneezing?
Yes.
And then there's a scene where he's like, who peed on all my shirts?
It's like that Simpsons episode where they do the flashback where they're like, oh, actually, the cats own the house. Because
that was this and the rabbit movie I saw back when, was it Billy Bob Thornton hosted TNT?
Oh, Joe Bob Briggs.
Joe Bob Briggs. Yeah. Some three-name guy. Slightly less famous.
Go-getter Greg.
I was going to say every serial killer, every guy who's ever... Mark David
but
Chapman.
But they used to do a TNT, Monster Night.
Yeah.
And that's where I've seen all of
okay.
these.
I think that was Go Get 'Em, Greg, because Ludo has a song based off of that guy.
Ludo. Get close to the microphone there, Chuck.
Ludo, dropping names all over the place.
Chuck, I also want you to tell me if this is a real movie. Basket Case.
Yes.
A young boy is born with a partially formed Siamese twin that he then has removed and carries around in a basket. Until it turns out the twin is also a serial killer.
I'm going to say yes, and it's Korean.
Newt?
I'm going to say yes, and it's American.
Ah, Newt, stop
I'm
going to
say yes, and I've seen it. So.
I've seen all three of them.
There's three of those. Tell us more about it, Newt.
It's literally the guy had a conjoined twin. They cut it off. It's in a basket. He feeds it hot dogs, and then it gets out and kills people. And then the sequel was like a comedy. But it was, made in the dirtiest part of New York City in the 1970s, and it just looks like you're going to get an HPV from watching it. You know?
It sounds almost like the original Grudge.
That was suggested to me to watch by Maxim Magazine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I checked it out.
Mm-hmm.
All right. The next movie. A young boy dreams of being a wrestler. Unfortunately, he was born part tree.
What's the title of this movie?
Branches of Hope.
I'm going to say that's not a real movie.
Not a real movie.
I'm going to say that it's going to be a real movie.
I'm going to say that it should be in Midnight
Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just so you know, I sent that script to Sean, and he said no.
And then Sean was like, come up with a
name.
Well,
no, because we could do a sequel, and we could have one where a circus bear witnesses a murder, so gets put into a witness protection program. We can call it Bear Witness.
Oh, my God, this is great.
And Tim Allen is the guy. Actually, Tim Allen could also be my other idea, where a dad dies who's a NASCAR driver, and he comes back as the family dog, and then they make race car dog, and then the trailer would end with the car going around the track and the dog's head out the window.
I like that idea, too.
It's like that South Park episode where there's 100 different ideas, all with Adam Sandler, but all mine are with Tim Allen.
All right, here's your real question. Zombie cannibals. After the zombie apocalypse, a tribe of cannibals hunt and eat zombies to become immortal.
Whose turn is it? Is it my turn?
It started with you, Nate.
Oh, okay. I'm going to say that's not true.
Not true.
I'm going to also say it's not true.
Not true.
Kind of go with true.
That is not true. I made that one
up. Kind of half Omega Man and...
So I know a lot of horror movies with cannibal in the title.
Well, you put that, but then, you know, it's a different titling when they go to different areas, and you know.
The Cannibal series.
Yeah. Cannibal Holocaust.
I've seen that.
And yeah. Will, one more for you. Ready? Here we go. The Barker. A carnival barker captures women and forces them to play his twisted games and ride his demented rides that slowly turn them into dogs in The Barker.
No. No, it's not,
not a real movie.
I'm going to say it's a real movie.
Chuck thinks it's real.
I'm going to say it's not a real movie.
It is not a real movie.
But it would be a great movie.
Yeah, I like that idea.
I could just see, like, Paulie from the Rocky movies being in it. You know?
Be great for Midnight Show. Yeah. Say it. Okay. Newt, you definitely won. So I'm just going to run through these, and you tell me what these movies are about. Killer Nun.
Killer Nun was another Jess Franco movie. And it was about – actually – it was on the video nasty list, and it wasn't really as bad as you would think. She was killing people because it was, like, the righteous thing to do. And it wasn't really as exploitive as I thought it would be, because a lot of those nun movies were all, like, nuns, like, showing off their lady parts and stuff like that. This one was more like her, like, being a Dr. Kevorkian type of character.
Well, then I don't like it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She kills an old lady in a really funny way, though. I think, like, you know.
That's good. That's good. Don't Go Near the Park.
Don't Go Near the Park is one of the don't movies. Like, don't go in the house, you know, don't look in the basement. I know it, but I can't think of what it was.
It is when an investigative reporter discovers the dastardly plan of 12,000-year-old brother-sister team who need to restore their youth by killing a virgin.
Yes, okay. Because there's, I always get that and House at the Edge of the Park confused, not Last House on the Left, which is this horrible movie where the dude from Last House to the Left, because he's in two last movies, breaks into a house and just abuses these people, and it's so racist and homophobic. I was like, how did they make that movie?
That's true. Mm-hmm. And I also have Mutant Hunt.
I've never even heard of that.
You've never heard of Mutant Hunt? It is a mercenary is hired to destroy a pack of drugged up cyborgs.
Wow.
Nice.
There's not any mutants in it.
It's like Wings
cyborgs.
Wings Hauser's in it and all those other bad movie actors.
It's Rick something is the actor. It's just terrible.
Rick.
It's terrible.
He's like Prince. He just goes by one name.
And I had one more that I wrote, which was I'll Put You in the Ground, which is the story of a gym teacher who captures and tortures his students before throwing them into a hole full of mutant mole men.
Yeah, that's going to be a good movie as well.
So that is our game. Newt is our winner. He's finally taking away our action figure.
I've spent so much time watching garbage. That just
goodness.
And now it's paid off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it paid off.
Like, I wrote this game, and I was like, it'll be funny because I bet Newt will know, like, one or two of these. Yeah. I didn't know that Basket Case was so popular.
Basket Case is a fun movie. You
should have done reality TV
shows. Simpsons episode where Bart has a conjoined twin is based on that.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
And Holocaust, I saw at a screening in L.A. at the New Beverly Theater. It was Quentin Tarantino ran a bunch of prints, and that was one of them. And everyone in the audience was really uncomfortable, except for one guy who was, like, really excited.
Newt.
No, I didn't know. I had never seen it before. Because there's also, like, Night of the Naked Dead and Orgy of the Dead. There's,
I almost included both of those movies.
Oh, nice, you know? Zombie, or was it Blood Island Cult Man? Did you ever see that Aqua Teen episode?
Oh, yeah.
You hate women because they have the organs you desire.
Nice head, I think I'll take it. Nice head, I think I'll take it. Nice head. What are you doing here?
All right.
I think my mail's up here.
First off, let's thank Chuck for coming up here and giving us a pack of magic cards. Thank you so much, Chuck. There's not a big audience tonight, so all right, Newt, thank you so much for coming out here.
Hey,
any
last-minute
plugs here before we get out of here?
Just go and – he's going to push the Florida Loom again.
Yep.
Just go and check out Midnight Show on Midnight Show Movie on Underbelly. And I'm working on a comic book and comic book.
Oh, yeah, we didn't get to talk about the comic book at all.
It should be ready soon, and I don't know when it's going to get published. It's called Scratch. Co-wrote it with Mark Poulton, who writes Savage Hawkman, with Rob Liefeld. And it's a different take on the Jersey Devil. It's like a David Cronenberg movie mixed with H.P. Lovecraft.
Huh.
Yeah. So
that sounds great.
It's
Scratch.
When they read it, yeah, you know, like old Scratch, the Devil. So
gotcha.
Came up with something a little bit more dark and body horror, and I'm excited about it.
Cool.
And then we'll see what comes next.
Excellent.
You guys need to come be in Midnight Show.
I would. Like
I would
that.
Love yeah. to be a Midnight.
I asked Sean before, and he's like, "Oh, I think those guys are really busy."
Well, he asked me to write "I Now Pronounce You Mom and Wife."
Oh yeah, he told me about that. That was one of the ideas that we said. Just leave the creative stuff to us, Sean.
I mean, I liked it, but I'd much rather do Wrestler Tree.
Yeah.
Or the Barker. Really like the Barker. Mm-hmm. Or the Chainsaw one. I really like the Chainsaw.
The Chainsaw.
Idol Chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, hopefully we'll be in Midnight Show, too.
Yeah,
check
we'll get
out
you
the
guys
link below for all your wonderful gory trailer needs.
There's always half-naked girls running around and monsters.
It's always good.
Yeah, you know. It's funny because half the time it's Justin's sister and then he has to edit it. That's what
amazing.
You get. That's what you get for being my friend.
Don't be Newt's friend.
No, not at all. Thankfully,
you
I don't have
either have to edit your naked sister or you get kidnapped in Florida.
Be named Slurpee.
Slurpee. Jokes on him.
So thank you so much for Newt. Will, anything to add?
Thank you to Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah, for making this show possible. Yeah, always appreciate it. This is the Plus Two Comedy Podcast. Thank you so much.
This episode of the Plus Two Comedy Podcast was brought to you by Jester's Playhouse at 545 Tilton Road in Northfield, New Jersey. Your stop for comics, gaming, and Land Center. So much fun, it'll moose the S curl on your forehead.